Shut up and sit down.
Welcome back, episode 5, season 2 of the Jack and Jill Show. Mike's with me, as well as our baseball coach, Jeremy Snow. Me and Mike have not been speaking kindly of baseball, to say the least. No. But yeah, well,
that's why he's here, though.
Yeah, no, we're trying to.
He's here to defend baseball today.
Fair and balanced.
MLB, sorry, MLB.
Yeah. MLB, yeah, just the MLB. I got no beef with baseball in general, just MLB. But again, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. We got to start. Big week in the NFL. Down in Dallas, just some horrific news. I mean, watching it. Horrific.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Dak Prescott?
Yeah, that was brutal. I mean, Jeremy, did you see that?
Yeah, as a Cowboys fan, I've watched it many times, crying each time.
Man, I forgot you were a Cowboys fan.
You can't even say that, though. Like, you've had Troy Aikman.
Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, I forgot about Drew Bledsoe.
Quincy Carter, wasn't that?
Quincy or, Carter was Quincy in there, Carter. For yep, sure. Yep.
Yeah. A couple. Tony Romo. And now you have the Red Rocket, who we talked about, actually, last
we
year.
We named one of our episodes.
I defended him on that episode.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just coming full circle now. Did we cause this? Us inviting you on the show this week? Like, is this the universe?
We didn't even think about this at all, but.
No, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, we named an episode the Red Rocket. Jeremy was on that, his debut on the Jack and Jill Show, and the Red Rocket has come back from the dead and is now a mainstream topic of conversation.
And he looked good. He looked good for the brief time that he did have over the weekend too, making two clutch throws at the end to set up the game-winning field goal.
Yeah. So your Cowboys are in the worst division in football. I think we can all agree on that, right?
For sure.
Dan, it's not even close.
Yeah, okay. You have Andy Dalton now coming in. Can they still make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they can. The skill players that Andy Dalton's inheriting are pretty good, and it just comes down to defense, which is rough.
I think what's really unique is obviously Andy Dalton had A.J. Green before, but after A.J. Green, did he have Chad Ochocinco for a little bit as well, maybe? Or is that
for a little bit, I believe he did.
For a little bit.
Yeah, towards the end.
In general, Andy Dalton did not have any weapons. Now he's got Zeke. Now he's got Cooper. Now he's got CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup. He's got weapons. And I think, you know, when we talked about when Andy Dalton was signed by the Cowboys, it was kind of a head scratcher. Like, you have Dak Prescott, who's arguably one of the top five, fantasy-wise anyways, he's one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. And it was kind of a head scratcher just signing Andy Dalton. Now it's obviously huge that they did pick him up.
Yeah, for sure. He's a winner.
Oh, my God. We had this discussion. Oh, and it carried over into the week ahead just in the office. Yeah, you're a believer. You're a Red Rocket believer. Well, more power to you. I guess we'll find out here.
Andy Dalton believer,
you just called him a winner.
I will not argue with the stats.
I will not. Oh,
you
we talked about
stats.
Can't
argue with the stats.
I should have picked up the last episode, cut it up, and played some of those highlights. Oh, man, I'm upset right now.
After watching some of these quarterbacks, he should be a starter in the NFL.
Obviously. Getting the NFL is riddled with quarterbacks that have no business being starters. And I'm not going to bring up this topic right now, but there's plenty of people who don't have a job right now that should still be quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, I don't know what it is with NFL GMs that love quarterbacks that continuously do not even come close to getting it done, but the NFL has tons of them. It makes no sense to me how some of these guys still have jobs. None. Sorry, tangent there, but I don't, he should be a starter. I will agree with that. I mean, we're watching what's happening in Denver the last 3 weeks with, what was it, Brett Ripien? Who was the other guy they threw in there?
Well, Drew Locke is like the main guy, but.
No, after that. They went through like
two or three, yeah. That's yeah.
The 49ers have been trotting out, what is it, Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard? I mean, there's nothing going on
there.
Well,
and Garoppolo didn't look very good this past weekend either.
God, terrible. And he's got like, what, $160 million contract?
Yeah.
Give me a break. The Patriots are throwing out Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. I mean, what was awfulness that was going on there. So yeah, Andy Dalton, he's good enough to be starting somewhere. Now he is. So I guess we'll see. And hopefully now that we've just given Andy Dalton some credit, hopefully he doesn't fall apart next week. That'd be brutal. Just sticking with the Cowboys here, though. Scale of 1 to 10, how bad is your defense in the first half consistently?
Whatever's terrible, one number below that.
I would agree. I played on a college baseball team, and we set the NCAA record for errors in a season. And I think that's the kind of level the Cowboys are reaching right now.
It's been rough, but thankfully I haven't had the time to watch too much of the first 4 weeks because we're still in fall ball. So it's.
I thought you were going to say the first half, and then just say like you tune in every second half when the game gets exciting and close.
In the last 2 minutes, I have caught for most of the games, but it's rough.
A couple are notable. I mean, we already mentioned it. 49ers absolutely blown out. Jimmy Garoppolo less than a single fantasy point. If you're a fantasy football
negative
person.
I believe he was negative fantasy points, but
he might be on a roster that I'm familiar with where he got 0.57. It was a strong contribution from Jimmy G. I mean, just terrible, terrible. Bills surprisingly blown out as well. And one of the favorite moments for a lot of people, Tom Brady forgetting what down it was on the last play of the game. Have you ever seen something like that?
No, and it was so surprising because it's Tom Brady.
He was like, super confident.
Like, how many times have we seen him in a Patriots uniform with under 2 minutes to go, march down the field, or even less than 2 minutes, a minute left, get 30 yards, get 10 yards, get 20 yards, in position to kick the field goal, bang, game over. 100 times.
Yeah.
It was so uncharacteristically, like, just watching that. And then, obviously, the big picture was him, like, holding up the number four. Like,
yeah.
That was all over social media. I thought it was pretty funny, too. But
brutal.
Does that come down to the Bill Belichick preparation versus the Bruce Arians preparation?
Are we really going to get Greg going here about this again? This is every single week we're talking Pats.
No, I'm just going to talk about Tom Brady right now. I'm not going to. I mean, I'll have to mention the Patriots by default. So Tom Brady's obviously been getting shredded. I mean, you got to know what down it is. I mean, I get that totally. But people are once again kind of, you see the anti-Tom Brady wave, the wave of people that says he can't get it done anymore. You know, I've watched New Orleans play a couple times this year now. I don't understand why Drew Brees doesn't get the same treatment as Tom Brady. The amount of haters, I hate that word haters, the amount of loathing and dislike for Tom Brady, it's like year after year, a ton of people want to just say like, he's done. And then you watch people talk about Drew Brees like he's still a top three quarterback in the NFL or one of the best. And I don't like, when is the last time you've seen someone just be critical of Drew Brees?
I'd say this year more than ever.
But even then,
he obviously can't throw the ball the way he can. Correct. Brady still looks like he can toss the pigskin around. Brees, you can tell like he does, like how many over 20-yard passes has he like through the air has he made this year?
Not very many.
Four.
Yeah. I just don't understand why. I get it. Some people are now finally waking up and realizing like, hey, Drew Brees isn't Mr. Perfect in the NFL anymore. But it's like for the past 10 years, he's been able to just get away with not having the same kind of success as Tom Brady. But everyone is always coming after Tom Brady. Always. Sometimes myself included. And it's just this, the attacks on him, like where is it for some of these other guys? It should be there. I get it. You know, Tom Brady screwed up. Fourth down. Yeah, it happens. But, you know, tune into a Saints game. Like watch some of these other quarterbacks with these obscene contracts as well. Like just back off my man TB12 here. And I have not been his biggest supporter since he went to Tampa at all. But it's too much. It's ridiculous.
If we're going to get really deep here, like I feel like a lot of people during Deflategate, I think the controversy and
there's no controversy. I feel like
since that happened,
people have really been like, it was
they were not a like that. They don't people don't like cheaters.
People don't like people that are on the top. And I think Drew Brees doesn't get the same treatment because they've won one Super Bowl. Tom Brady's won 1,000 now.
I'm about to stop recording right now. We'll go pump up a ball inside. It's raining outside. It's miserable. It's about 40 degrees. We'll let it sit out there for a half, and we'll beat on it like it takes a beating in a football game. And you know what? It's going to lose air pressure. That's called science. That's what happens. If you want to talk about Patriots cheating, you can talk about Bill Belichick and taping a couple of the Jets practices, because I got no defense for that. I got nothing like that. That happens.
But here's the thing, Greg. I think like these type of things are why people aren't Patriots fans. That maybe they're not a Tom Brady fan, or they don't want to see Tom Brady succeed. Like I know it was like one thing for Brady, the Deflategate, but.
So I'm okay with the general public being dumb like that. I'm just, that's fine. They can, everyone hates a winner. I get it. But the so-called professionals, the so-called experts, like the Max Kellermans of the world and people like that, like why are they constantly going after this guy? And they're not going after anyone else except Baker Mayfield, if you're Colin Coward, which is hilarious, by the way. And I'm totally on Colin Coward's side with that. But like, why don't the experts treat Drew Brees like, is it just because Drew Brees doesn't win, like Jeremy said? Because they talk about him like he wins.
I don't know. I think that they're paid to generate ratings, and hot takes generate ratings. And do they really believe what they're saying on there? I don't know.
Well, that's actually an interesting question. Do they really believe what they're saying on there? Probably not. That's
like Skip Bayless. I don't think he believes a single thing that comes out of his mouth.
Or his Twitter or anything.
Yeah. Like nothing.
Last thing I have to say on the matter, Mike, do you actually think they cheated with the air pressure of footballs?
Well, the NFL thought they did.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, I'm going to have to side with the NFL.
Yeah, the NFL has a really solid track record in its decision makings over the last 10 years with how they treat people, fairness and everything. That's definitely a good side to take. All right, moving on. Any other NFL stuff that I'm forgetting about right now?
Well, just the last one, Russell Wilson, another comeback.
He's good.
I don't know what the Vikings were doing going for it, but.
I remember.
Kick the field goal, make it an 8-point game.
Kick the field goal, you can't lose. You go up by 8, you get a chance to stop them from scoring a touchdown, and you also have a chance, if they do score, they still have to make the 2-point conversion. Like, what on earth? I thought that was one of the worst play calls I've seen.
He's for sure on the hot seat now. Like he runs the defense, and their defense has been
obviously,
the Vikings anyway. I'm talking about the Vikings.
Yeah, he must not have any faith in his defense that he's running if he's trying to win the game right there in 4th and 1. That was terrible. Just stupid. One last football item. Mike, are you a fantasy genius? Is that what you're...
Yeah, I think I am. Well, I mean, I'm tied for first in our staff football league that we have. For Jeremy, I believe you're tied for first as well. Greg, what was your record again? I didn't get a chance to check the standings, but...
It's not good. I have one win, and it was over you, ironically. Mm-hmm. That's about it. And I actually drove in. I was telling you guys before, I drove into work today thinking I had won. And I was going to, our volleyball coach likes to hand out some very healthy, and they are healthy, that's not sarcasm, drinks to other coaches after she wins and forces us to drink them. And I mean, it's good for us, but my God, they taste horrendous.
Awful.
You've had them, right? Yeah, just awful, awful. Like, I don't know how that's healthy. Like, I feel like the pain caused by me drinking them is probably outdoes the health effects, but. So I was literally about to pull in and buy a nice, good McDouble from McDonald's and give it to her because I thought I had won. And luckily, I checked my phone, and that was a major disappointment right there. I've been hiding from Chelsea all day to make sure I'm not going to be forced.
She'll find you.
Oh, she'll, yeah. When she's ready.
I'm going home right after this. Right after this. All right. Since we last talked, Los Angeles Lakers back on top, NBA champions. The Heat did way better than I expected. Series ended 4-2. Unfortunately, the last game was an absolute blowout, but is what it is. My biggest issue with this is I strongly feel that the NBA actually cheated the Heat in this. And I don't get on that whole like free throw train where everyone talks about all the foul calls LeBron gets and stuff. Like, LeBron's a beast. He can put his head down and get to the rim almost every time and draw contact. It is what it is. My issue is, if you go back, I don't remember what year it was, but it was LeBron against the Warriors, and Draymond Green got suspended from a game in the NBA Finals for throwing a hand that came in the general vicinity of LeBron James. I don't even think he touched him.
That was the year they won, I think.
Yeah,
when the Cavaliers won.
The Warriors were going to win.
Yeah. The Cavs were down 3-1.
Yeah. Draymond got suspended. Cavs couldn't come back and win. And if you, in game five, Anthony Davis took a full swing at Crowder. Full swing. I mean, I like knew exactly what he was doing. It was probably, if I had to say, probably five times worse than what Draymond Green did to LeBron James. You know what? Maybe 100 times worse. I think I'll go a little bit Max Kellerman and exaggerate a little bit. And nothing happened. And the NBA knew about it. They even commented on it and said, there's nothing more for us to do here. So I just don't know. I don't understand how that happens. Like, and because you also know that there's so many people out there that think the NBA already caters to the LeBron James, the Anthony Davises of the world. Like, how do you blatantly let someone get away with this? Have you seen the clip?
No.
It's a, we'll have to tweet it out after. It's a full swing. Like, it's, and nothing even happened in real time either. And you, if you watch an NBA game right now, they review things just because someone like looks at someone wrong. Like, they review everything. Like, is this a flagrant foul? Is it a technical foul? And if you go back into the early 90s, it's absolutely nothing. Let's get the ball back and play, and let's play some basketball.
They didn't even have like replay.
Yeah, but even then, you see it real time. I mean, watch some of the Celtics Lakers games back in the 80s and 90s. I mean, these guys were, watch the Bad Boy Pistons. Like, give me a break. Considering how many things they're reviewing now, and Anthony Davis gets away with taking a full swing, like, it shouldn't happen. It can't happen. And it's also allowing these guys of this certain caliber to just get away with more and more in the future. And then the Draymond Greens of the world have to just watch themselves more and more and more and get branded a bad guy more and more and more when they're really not. Like, it, these guys make so much extra money already. Like, we don't, you don't need to give Anthony Davis more here. He doesn't need to get away with more. Does that make sense?
No, that certainly makes sense.
And it also ruins the integrity of the game here. Like, look at just, and I promise we'll tweet it out after the show. Watch the Draymond Green clip. I'll tweet that one too. Watch the Anthony Davis one. You're gonna be like, how is he allowed to play the next game? How is he allowed to finish that game? It's bad. It's bad.
I wish I could chime in here because I didn't see it, but it was
the NBA cheated the Heat there. That's what I'm trying to say. They cheated the Heat, at least in terms of Game 6. Game 7, I'm willing to bet Anthony Davis and LeBron get it done. And maybe they still get it done in Game 6 without Anthony Davis. I don't think they do. I think Anthony Davis is the best player in basketball right now. But
I think that regardless, they would have, because obviously Game 5 for the Heat, like, they had to – that took everything. Like, Jimmy Butler couldn't even walk after that game after they won.
Jimmy Buckets.
He couldn't even walk. Like, yeah. They emptied the tank in Game 5, and they weren't going to get it done in Game 6 regardless. No.
If I'm a Heat fan, though, I'm pretty angry. Luckily, I'm not a Heat fan, so I'm not really that angry, but it's still frustrating to watch. But all right, Jeremy's on. It's time to talk baseball. Has the World Series already happened? I don't even know. That's where I'm at right now, Jeremy.
You're here to defend the MLB, Jeremy.
Yeah, no, the World Series has not happened yet. We're in the middle of the championship series. So four teams left. The cheating Astros are down 3-0. And the Dodgers-Braves series, the Dodgers are down 2 after last night. So that's where we're at.
I definitely don't want to see the Astros win. Not that I'm going to see it either way, but I imagine everyone's got to be rooting against them.
Well, them and the Dodgers, I feel like everybody's kind of against the Dodgers a little bit too. But
I don't know. I think everybody likes to laugh at the Dodgers for how they struggle in the playoffs, but the Astros, there aren't a whole lot of people on board. the Astros fans obviously are still defending them. The Astros players have painted themselves victims for the playoffs, and led by Carlos Correa, the shortstop, who's been adamant defending them and their cheating tactic. But
how do you defend that? Like, what are they? How are they going about trying to defend this?
I don't know. I think their point is that they didn't need to do it, that they're that good. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from the diehard fans of the game. It's not that they cheated to win. It's that they didn't have to cheat to win. They're that good. And so seeing them in this position, they're using that as a tool or a crutch or an argument that, look at us, we didn't have to do it. We're following the rules now, and we're still right here. But they're still catching a lot of heat. I think not having fans at games has been really great for them, because spring training was rough. Watching the
that would have been horrendous.
Yeah, yeah. But the Rays are up 3-0, and hopefully sending them home soon. So.
I mean, good, because there's no defense of what the Astros was doing. You know, I actually, going back in time, I tried to use that defense for the Patriots when they got caught videotaping. It doesn't work. Like, Patriots were still going to go 18-0 the next year. They were good. Still going to win Super Bowls. But it's like, you just, that's not an excuse. If you do something wrong, you own up to it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that MLB's response to the scandal and giving all the players immunity and stuff as long as they came clean, and there's really been no visible punishment. Might see the effects down the road with the loss of draft picks and the money and some of the executives losing their job, but there's been no punishment. They didn't have to forfeit their championship. They didn't have to lose
which is mind-boggling.
So
this is the NCAA. They're getting the death penalty for like 3 years.
For sure.
No scholarships.
For sure. Like, longer than that.
You're done. Yeah. Vacate it and lose playoff opportunities and all that stuff. And actually, just by sheer luck of the new format, they got in with a below 500 regular season record. So
also ridiculous.
Yeah. But it's the way it worked, and they made it this far. And hopefully they get swept, and that would be awesome.
So as a person who's obviously watched baseball this summer, because I've maybe tuned in for 3 to 5 innings all summer. What's your overall take on maybe how the MLB handled COVID, the shortened season, et cetera? Like, what is there to get excited about the MLB right now?
The fact they got through the season with a relative clean slate was awesome. The hardest part, and I've heard you guys talk about it on here in the past, about how baseball season's too long, and the 162 is a long season where you go through excitement in the beginning and lull for the summer, and then excitement on playoff pushes. This 60-game format should have been awesome for everybody, but it still wasn't, because I think there was too many options, and unfortunately baseball has been losing fans for a long time now because of the pace of play and just how fast paced everything else is, and competing now with NBA finals and NFL, soccer going on right now as well. There's been too many other options. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't the shortened season that I think people were looking for in terms of that. But for me watching, it was a unique take, where they kept West teams playing West teams, Central playing Central all year. And then the playoff format expanded and doing some kind of weird things with that. It's just been different, but for me, it's been exciting.
How do you feel about the shift?
The defensive shift?
Yes.
It's baseball's a numbers game now. The analytics departments and the money invested in analytics and all of that is where the game has gone. That's why strikeouts are way up and batting average doesn't matter, and the home runs are taking over, and the playing for the three true outcomes is huge. So the shift, it's percentages. So I don't know. I don't have a great yes or no argument.
There's people out there that say ban the shift.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I mean, it's kind of funny looking at an old school baseball box score and seeing an F5 when it's pop up to right field and the third baseman's catching it. But you get 27 outs. So you're going to get your outs however you can. And if you're going to play the percentages and players aren't going to adapt their game plan, then why not?
How do you feel about guys like Fernando Tatis Jr., who I feel like old school mentality folks hate him?
I love it. I love emotion in baseball.
I don't mean to cut you off, but what is this is me speaking as someone who used to love baseball. Fun fact, I was 7 outs away from pitching a perfect game at the college level, and then didn't happen. I'll leave it at that.
That's still pretty far away.
Did you win?
So it's two and a third innings in a 9-inning game. Yeah.
Did you win the game?
Yeah, we won. Okay. And I ended up letting one run, complete game, no big deal. No walks, 7 strikeouts.
Nice.
No big deal. But anyways, I'd only bring that up, not to humble brag, because I was not good, but to point out, I do like baseball, but I'm having a hard time watching. I'm having a hard time listening to some people talk about it because people complain about like what Tatis Jr. is like. He flipped the bat. Like, okay.
I agree 100%. I think baseball is way too set on hiring former players from different eras to comment games and call games. And their idea of baseball is still set in how they played. And it's a different game. And if we don't evolve, then we are going to keep losing the younger fan bases and stuff. The younger fans love that stuff. It's excitement. It's emotion. Yeah, guys doing great things on the field and celebrating it. And it's seen as really awesome. But they're watching it and hearing somebody talk saying, that's bad. You should never do that. You shouldn't do this. Oh, my God. Tatis Jr. is so horrible for swinging 3-0 and hitting a grand slam and celebrating.
Oh, my God. That was ridiculous. Like, they're like, it was already an 8-0 game. Okay, well, now it's 12. Like, what are they supposed to do? Stop playing baseball?
Exactly.
You flip the bat? Have you watched a football game? What's a free safety? He spiked the ball. Like, oh, my God. Right. What do you expect? Watch soccer. They rip their shirts off and jump into the crowd. They slide on their bellies after they score. Give me a break. No,
baseball's got to start adapting and buying into that because that's what the younger players want to do. And that's what their younger fan base is going to want to see. And, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned that. I was sitting watching one of the playoff games with our assistant coach, and we were just commenting on how horrible the announcer feedback is about the game and just the misinformation they're talking about on, you know, these new analytics or these new statistics or these new measurements like launch angle and exit velocity, you know, things that weren't all over the TV even 10 years ago. But now it's an important thing. And hearing John Schmoltz say things like, well, that was a good launch angle swing there. Or Brian Anderson calling a home run the other day. Oh, well, he put a really good launch angle swing on that. There's a launch angle on every swing, on every ball put in play for the history of the game. It's not something new. Yes, guys are trying to keep the ball in the air now because the mathematics and the analytics say that that's how you win baseball games, keeping the ball in the air, not grounding out. And unfortunately, not caring about batting average. So it's awful. We need to get new people in there, new young announcers.
Don't be hating on Brian Anderson. He's a does most of the Brewers game.
Is this the guy who was a former starting pitcher? He was with the Diamondbacks at one point.
Brian Anderson?
No. Yeah.
No.
No. Brian Anderson is the voice of the Brewers, and I love listening to him call a game. I love his voice, but when he says things like that about the launch angle on that, the launch angle swing. Oh, he put that launch. It's just really awkward. So, and then back to the bat flips and the emotion and stuff, you know, pitchers celebrating big strikeouts and bat flipping and stuff. It's excitement. And the more excitement we can have in our game, the more we're going to draw a crowd, the more we're going to get to those younger generations that want to play, that want to do those things and celebrate. And I think it's not a sportsmanship thing, because you watch the NFL and you see the big celebrations. You watch soccer, like you said, and the ripping the jerseys off and jumping in the stands, the Lambeau leap, you know, all these fun things. They're exciting. And unfortunately, baseball, just like a lot of things, hasn't caught up.
Just for the record, Brian Anderson was a starting pitcher back when I was a kid for the Diamondbacks. I had to look it up to make sure I got the name right. Yeah, the only reason I remember him is because he missed a start because he wasn't sure if he had his iron on, you know, to iron clothes, and he held it up to his face, and turns out it was on. So
I'm sure that's the same Brian Anderson.
I don't think.
I'm saying we're talking about two different Brian Andersons.
Okay.
The Brian Anderson I'm talking about, same person, starting pitcher, iron to the face. But not the Brian Anderson that you guys are talking about. Turns out Anderson's a common last name, and believe it or not, Brian's a common first name as well. So, yeah. All right. Last question on this, because I apologize. I can't get over the bat flipping stuff. I just can't get over this old school, new school stuff. I feel like it trickles down as well. Like you talked about the commentators talking about it, but then I feel like players, like especially pitchers. And I can say this as a pitcher. I feel like they. Like guy just let up a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch, and instead of the pitcher thinking about, well, damn, maybe I shouldn't have let him get ahead 3-0, or damn, maybe I shouldn't have grooved a fastball right down the middle at the most predictable time. They think, oh, bat flip, like they focus, or oh, he should be taking that. Like they focus on the wrong thing. It's like, dude, like this is your fault. Like if you're mad that someone threw their bat 300 feet in the air after hitting a ball 500 feet in the air off, you're like you're mad at the wrong thing. Like you should be mad that you just let up a rocket to left field that's still in orbit. Like that's on you. It's not on the bat flip. It's on you. You pitched bad. And I just feel like that level of accountability, it gets lost in the mix because people are focusing on trying to make baseball boring again.
For sure. For sure.
What would you say? Like you're out there, you're against St. Scholastica, bad day. We'll give you credit. Your team's 20-0 right now, but you're losing to Scholastica 8-0. And then some saint just launches one and it travels all the way to Hurley, Michigan, is hit. So, and the guy throws the bat up in the air. Like, what do you say?
That exactly what you just said. We're going to talk about, we got to pitch better. Now it doesn't have to be ridiculous about it and throw it over the dugout and stuff like that, but it's a bat flip and a celebration it's part of the game now. It should be. It's emotion. Guys are playing good. I don't mind it at all.
I think it can be good for baseball. And I think baseball's missing this. Like instead of like embracing this, they're shunning it. And I really feel like, I mean, you can just listen to me right now on how much I'm ranting against baseball, not watching it anymore. Like it's a negative effect. These professional managers, and I think you said it really well, baseball needs to get away from hiring all these old school guys that still think the same way that they thought 40 years ago. Like that's not how humans work. You get smarter as time goes on. But anyways, they need to, I mean, they just have to embrace this. And you know what? Step one, reporter says, how'd you feel about Tatis's bat flip after he lit you up for 700 feet? What are you talking about? I was focused on why my pitcher was down 3-0. Like there, that's how you answer those questions.
Yeah.
Don't make this stuff a story. Don't give reporters a reason to keep talking about the wrong things. Don't give your pitchers an out for pitching terribly.
Don't get me started about what they ask guys after the game. The last two nights, Dodgers and
Braves. He asked him about his pants or something like that.
Yeah, Walker Buehler pitched a really good game. It was 1-1 when he came out of the game. They end up losing because they gave up 4 in the top of the ninth. And the first question he gets asked sitting at the podium is, Walker Buehler's pants are trending on Twitter. How do you feel about that? And I mean, he just said, now is probably not the time or place to ask that question.
That reporter should have been fired.
Right. And then you fast forward to last night's game, and the Braves were up 7-0 at one point, 8-3 in the bottom of the ninth. And the Dodgers scored 4 runs and had a runner at third with 2 outs. And the Braves closed it out, 1-8-7. And one of the first questions asked of the closer after the game was, well, when you guys, how do you feel about blowing that lead? Like, do you feel like you still carried momentum into tomorrow? Or what's the deal? And he's like, I'm not even going to ask that question. It's a ridiculous question. We won the game.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't blow the lead. They had a good comeback.
You won.
We won the game. And it just, again, it goes back to focusing on the wrong things and stuff like that.
But at least the closer there came up with the right answer. The right answer was stupid question. Bill, by the way, MLB managers, if they need a lesson on how to address stupid questions, come to New England. Let me introduce you to Bill Belichick.
Oh,
and he'll show you how it's done. He'll show you how it's done. I can't believe you didn't know where I was going with
Stop
that.
Stop it.
Oh. We could do the same thing and go to Alabama and talk to Nick Saban or you know, call up Greg Popovich and really get some good answers.
Ooh, Popovich. No, I should have gone with that. I know Mike's going to get all upset at Bill Belichick reference.
Yeah. It was nice to see that there wasn't just the standard answer to these dumb questions that were coming up. But yeah, back to your point, I think it's important that we start answering the questions, focusing on the right parts of the game. Giving up the grand slam. Yeah. The bat flip was not the story there.
Yeah.
The story was you grooved a pitch. He hit it out.
You're down on the count 3-0. The base is loaded. Like, do you honestly expect anything good to happen there?
Right.
Like, man.
So last question, and sorry to put you on the spot. So obviously we've been talking about this, but what does the MLB have to do to make it just more exciting? Because is there anything to do?
I think there's a lot that they could do as far as marketing themselves better.
We don't
market our stars at all. We do a commercial with.
How many times have you seen Mike Trout on a commercial?
Right. Right, we do a commercial right before the playoffs and show like the 20 top young players in one commercial, but we don't do a great job of marketing just our stars. MLB Network has tried to do that a little bit this year of having some of the younger players do a little cameo appearance in a commercial or something like that. But we don't market our players well. We don't market the game very well. It's in that internal battle that I think we've been discussing, this old school versus new school, and baseball is just so reluctant to adapt. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to adapt. I think it goes right back to our talk about the NBA. You know, Anthony Davis doesn't get that same treatment as Draymond Green, but Anthony Davis is the best player in the league.
Everyone knows who he is too.
Everybody knows who he is. And sports are entertaining. They're a ratings driven business, just like anything else. So you can't have your best players out, but they market Anthony Davis that way.
Mm-hmm.
MLB doesn't do that. And like right now, if Freddie Freeman is out of the lineup tonight for the Braves, the common fan doesn't know who Freddie Freeman is.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to be the MVP this year. But we don't market our guys. So it's just I think we got to market better. I think we've got to make it more exciting with a new brand of calling a game, a new color commentary system.
I do like the in-game. Like I've caught a couple innings here and there.
Yeah,
I have noticed they're talking to the center fielder like while the action's going on.
Yeah,
as a coach, I would hate that. But
yeah,
as someone watching, I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah,
yeah, doing the in-game interviews with players that are actually playing. There's been some funny, interesting things that have happened with that.
Yeah, ball hit in the gap to the center fielder while he's right, live.
They got to really watch what the hot mic catches in certain situations. But we've got to do things like that and try to make it more of a fan experience. Right now, it's just the same baseball, and the game has tried to. I keep saying we, like I'm involved with Major League Baseball, but MLB's they've tried to change some of the rules to clean up pace of play. They put in the 3-batter minimum this year, so we didn't have as many pitching changes. The DH going to both leagues this year. Those are exciting things for fans that should improve the pace of play, should improve the scoring. You know, unfortunately, as a old baseball fan, the 1-0 game is still exciting to me. But for the common kid, it gets boring. Yeah. You want to see home runs. You want to see guys hitting. So we've got to come up with ways that cater to the younger generation. And I think NBA does a great job with that. It's really grown in viewership and stuff. And their interactions on social media and their interactions outside of the actual game is great. But the NBA is also, they've got a great video game that's cross-platform. MLB's best video game is still PlayStation only. That changes next year, but they've got to do a better job of reaching out to the kids. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Little League is dwindling numbers each year. And why? Because it's not a fun thing to watch for them right now.
No. Well, we're running up against a time window here. We got Jeremy, admirable defense of baseball. Admirable defense. That was actually much better than I was expecting. Well done. Well done. We got our last thing here. Our NFL picks. We're going to announce them live on the air here.
Jeremy's getting in on this too.
All right.
Well, he's going to pick games.
Mike's pulling ahead right now. I mean, I think you're ahead of me by one game last week. Two games.
Bad weeks for both of us though last week. It was a tough one.
Still solid records overall. I mean, I'm 45-33 against the spread, but Mike, you're 50-28. Got a 5-game lead on me. 5-game lead. So hopefully I do a little bit better this week, if I'm being honest. I don't know what was happening last week. You want to take us through them game by game here?
Yeah. We'll go just off this top. At Carolina, Panthers off a big win versus Chicago. I got but Carolina is actually a 2.5 favorite here, so I got Chicago.
I got the Panthers. I keep hating on Chicago week after week, but they're 4-1 now.
4-1.
Yeah. Nick Foles actually looked like a NFL quarterback again last week. So I don't know. This might be Carolina. Carolina at home. They're going to win by at least a field goal. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to take Chicago. 4-1. They've rolled with two quarterbacks.
Fakest 4-1 there is. But I've been saying, I was saying that since they were 2-0. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, and my assistant coach is a big Chicago fan, so I don't want a divided coaching staff right now.
Smart move.
All right, Detroit at Jacksonville. Easy one for me. I have Detroit, 3.5 favorites.
I'll let you go, Jeremy.
Greg keeps taking Jacksonville every week. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is Patricia still the coach?
He is. Man, this is a rough game. I'm going to go with Jacksonville. It's at Jacksonville. Yeah, I'm going with Jacksonville.
I'm gonna take Detroit off the bye week. I think Patricia and Stafford, they've got it figured out. I don't think that at all, but I'm going with Detroit.
Okay. Atlanta at Minnesota. Minnesota is a 3.5 favorite. Atlanta obviously just fired Dan Quinn and also their GM. I'm taking Minnesota.
Same.
Yep, same here.
Same. Atlanta's been so bad this year. Well, they had a couple good three quarters.
Yeah, they haven't held a lead very well.
No, they haven't held a lead at all. They're 0-5, right? Yeah, 0-5.
Yeah, they're off to a... No, it's not going well.
No, I don't even think Matty Ryan's the same anymore. I think he's... I don't know. I think Atlanta's done. Burn it down, build it back. Start new.
Sorry to go back. I'm writing these down. Did you go to Detroit?
I did.
Okay. Tennessee or Houston at Tennessee. Tennessee is surprisingly only a 3-point favorite. I got the Titans.
Same.
Yeah, coming off that blowout, I'm going to go with them as well.
Okay. Washington, just a great game we have here. The Washington football team versus the New York Giants. I'm going to take Giants. This was a coin flip for me. I have no reason why I picked the Giants, but I'm going to take the Giants.
Is Washington's going back to Kyle Allen, right? By the way, when we were talking about the NFL, and this is on me, so I actually watched the Washington football team play this past week.
Why?
Kind of a long story, but okay. It's kind of cool to see Alex Smith back out on the field. He's 38, cool. Suffered a just gruesome injury. Nearly lost his life because of the injury. Only threw for 37 passing yards, but he did at times look like an NFL quarterback, and I was hoping Washington was going to stick with them for this upcoming week, but it looks like they're going back to the really exciting Kyle Allen. And that's sarcasm in my voice. Again, I can't get going on this quarterback thing again. I got Washington, though.
Ooh. I'm going to go with the Giants.
Okay.
God, they're so bad, though.
I don't think either team's good.
That's true.
Cleveland at Pittsburgh. This should be a good game. But I'm going to go, Pittsburgh's a 3.5 favorite. I'm going to go with the Steelers. But the Browns are 4-1. They're playing well.
I feel like I keep picking against Cleveland, because I just don't believe in Baker Mayfield, but like you said, they're 4-1. So with me saying all that, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh at home. gonna keep picking against Mayfield.
Pittsburgh as well.
Okay. Baltimore at Philly. Baltimore 7.5-point favorite.
I got Baltimore.
Yeah, I got the Ravens.
Baltimore.
All right. Cincinnati, who looked awful against the Ravens over the weekend at Indianapolis. Indy's a 7.5 favorite. I got the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, their top receiver wants out. He's caught on camera saying, trade me mid-game. AJ Green coming to New England, I bet. I got Indianapolis, too. How do you bet on Cincinnati after that?
You can't.
Yeah, Indianapolis.
All right. NFC game of the week. We have the Green Bay Packers going to be headed south down to the state of Florida against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. Greg? We're gonna let you pick first. I'm going Packers, of course.
Yeah. I kind of thought the Packers were gonna get more in this. Like, I think Green Bay is gonna win the game. So I'm picking Packers.
Oh, Packers.
You guys are good men.
Don't you think the Packers should be? I mean, I feel like the line should be a little bit higher here for this game. Like, is this really that close to a toss-up? This is the lowest spread of the week, 1.5.
The power of Tom Brady.
Well, it's when the man just
forgot the down in the last play of the game. Like,
well, was it Sunday when the spread came out?
Yeah,
like the Bucks were actually favored.
No way.
Yeah,
Packers are undefeated, most points in the NFL per game.
I know.
What is that?
I don't know. All right, moving on. We got the Rams at San Fran. Rams are 3.5-point favorite. I have the Rams.
What is going on with San Francisco and quarterback situation? Like, is Garoppolo still hurt?
Probably.
I think he's starting.
He's playing.
I'm going with the 49ers. Think they're going to figure it out here.
Okay.
Not me. The Rams.
Rams. Yeah. All right.
I also got to pick differently than you now and again. I got to make up some ground here.
Well, I got the Rams. You took 49ers there.
I know. Maybe I'm just hesitating because I feel like that might have been a bad pick. No. I'm right. I'm going.
All right. New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins.
Miami.
8.5.
Miami. You could have put 14 up there. I would have picked Miami.
Yeah. I'm going to go Dolphins as well. Yeah, Jets also just released Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. He's coming to New England too, by the way. Did you say?
I don't think New England's like the place where you think it is now. Like, guys want to go to New England.
We'll see. We'll find out. I'm not saying guys want to go there. I'm just saying if guys want to rehabilitate their career, then that's where they come. Really? Where's Cam Newton at right now?
Oh, he is.
Yeah. We'll get another. Either AJ Green, Le'Veon Bell, someone else is coming this year.
I hope they all go there because those guys are done. But anyways, Jeremy. Go ahead, Jeremy. Who do you got in this one?
Jets?
Miami.
Has anyone picked the Jets all year? Can you justify it? All right, here's a question. What would you need to spot the Jets to pick them this game?
21.
Oh, my God.
Watch the Jets win this week, too.
21. Oh, man.
All right. Denver at New England. New England surprisingly a 9-point favorite in this one. I'm not really sure why. I know Denver's got a few quarterback issues right now, but if this one was maybe 7, I would probably take New England. But I'm gonna go Denver in this one.
I'm gonna pick New England because going back to 2001, New England is 73% of the time they beat the spread after a loss. Or no, was it 80? I don't remember. I looked this up once. It's 70%+, and the next closest isn't within 20 percentage points. So everyone write that down. New England loses.
Is Cam Newton playing this week?
Doesn't matter. It's all about the spread. Yeah, I think he is, though.
Yeah, that's going to obviously help tremendously.
New England all day. Let's go. Back on track, fellas.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Denver against the spread.
Bunch of haters.
All right, Monday night games. We have the Arizona Cardinals at the Dallas Cowboys, the Red Rocket. I think the Cardinals, they're fun to watch. I'm going to take the Cardinals in this one.
Jeremy, I'm going to
2.5 point favorite.
As well. Our Dallas diehard, I want to see where you're at here.
DeAndre Hopkins against that defense.
Well, Kyler Murray too. Like he's next level.
Yeah. I'm
going with Arizona. Struggling. Yeah. All right. Cardinals.
I'm going to go with Cardinals as well.
All right. And then our final game.
Kansas City.
Should be the game of the week.
Kansas City.
2-4-1 teams going at it.
They're not losing twice in a row, and they're going to win by more than 3.5.
Kansas City Chiefs at the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia. I'm taking Kansas City. You're going Kansas City?
Kansas City, yeah.
Kansas City.
No. All right. The picks are in. We'll tweet them out as well right before. We will also, as promised, we will show you the clip that got me so irate about the NBA and why I think the NBA cheated the Heat for game 6. I'm not saying the Lakers weren't going to win anyways. And I got a bunch of fans that are diehard Lakers fans, allegedly. They're always hate at people like me saying the Lakers are getting away with stuff. But anyways, anything you guys got to add here?
No.
That's it. That's a wrap. Episode 5. Be sure to listen, subscribe, hit us up on Twitter and all that other good stuff. Winter sports are starting up soon. Be on the lookout for our schedule there. We'll be broadcasting some of those games live. And just a reminder for all you future advertisers out there, hit us up. The Jack and Jill Show is hosted weekly by Greg Gilmore, that's me, and Mike Lennon. The show is crudely edited by yours truly, me again, and produced by our sports information department, that's me and Mike. Artwork is designed by Michaela Isid Williams. A special thanks to Northland College for letting us do this. Northland College is a small private liberal arts school located on the shores of Lake Superior. Come check us out online at northland.edu. This is a special place. Come see it for yourself in person. You won't be disappointed.